Thanks be to God. Now you may be seated. You bow your heads and pray with me. O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, I praise you once again for allowing me to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Sermon notes are found in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. You're sitting in the audience. The lights begin to dim. The conductor walks up to the podium, accompanied by a grateful applause. An oboe sounds a crisp and steady A440. And the instruments begin to tune, as if something magnificent is going to occur. And then a hint of silence between the swell of the instruments tuning and the rising of the curtain. And it's at that moment where Advent begins. This pivotal moment where Advent begins. It's today, that first Sunday, that curious season, as I told the children, of anticipation of something we know has happened, but not yet come to pass. That silent anticipation is a here and yet not experience. So today, my friends, is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a new year for our church, in which we gather and we're going to hear words all through Advent from the Hebrew Scriptures that point to the coming Messiah, who will fulfill God's promise of everlasting peace and forgiveness. So our first sermon note today is, we've heard from our scripture lesson today from Jeremiah. He's talking about these two fractured areas of God's people, Israel and Judah. And he says this, he says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I have made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah." And then he goes on to say, the prophecy says, "In those days and at that time, I'll cause a righteous branch to spring up from David, and he shall execute justice in the land and righteousness. In those days, Judah will be saved, and by Jerusalem, we will live in safety." And we hear the end of that, that the prophet gives this name. He says, "And this is the name by which the nation will be called, the Lord is our righteousness." Wouldn't that be great if we could say, this is the name that Faith Community espouses to, the Lord is our righteousness. Scriptures are going to ring out these everlasting words of kingdom, but we can see why, maybe through the words of these scriptures, why people thought that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be this powerful, dictatorial king who was going to have an independent government. And yet, we know that that's not what happened. Curiosity and anticipation at this time of year go hand in hand. It's like the children in the story of the Nutcracker today. You know, whether on stage or screen, this story has kind of captured our fascinations of the holiday season. And one of the things when I was thinking about this, the story is really told through a 12-year-old little girl named Clara. Now, I want you to focus on something today that I found very interesting. When you're 12, you're living in an in-between time. So you're not an adult yet. You can't drive. You can't vote or have a job. But you're no longer a child. Everything can start to look different. Also, the age of 12 is the age of reason, when many of us became one of Santa's helpers in addition to receiving gifts, if you know what I mean. In this story, we hear this 12-year-old girl understanding of Christmas. You know, it's really interesting. The only story that we have of Jesus when he was young was when he was 12 years old. We look in the book of Luke, we find this story that Jesus and his family had gone to the temple to worship for Passover. And the family goes back home, as you know the story goes, and they realize that Jesus isn't with them. And we're told that they're filled with anxiety and fear because Jesus is not there. And so they make their way back to the temple. And there's Jesus at 12 years old, sitting there, listening to the teachers in the temple, talking, engaging the scripture, the prophecy with them. And we're told that his mother comes and says, "Jesus, why have you done this to us? You know, we're frantic." Imagine leaving your car and going home, imagine them. They had to travel and getting there, and they realize he's not there. And what does Jesus say? He says to his mother, he says, "Mom, did you not know that I was to be in my Father's house?" You get the sense that this tradition, the family tradition, is forever changed as Jesus starts to get older. But one of the neat things that I find as we look at this 12-year-old Jesus as he grew and went through adolescence, sermon point number two is that Jesus grew in wisdom and years and in divinity and human favor. So he took this in-between time that he was in, and God blessed him with wisdom and years and divinity and human favor. You know, many of us have Christmas traditions we think will never change, but of course, we know differently that that's not entirely true. So Clara is 12 in this in-between time. And in the story, as I told the children, she's on one side of the door and she peeks through that keyhole and sees the Christmas tree. And she's waiting for those lights to go on to enter the party. And she wants to be there with her family. Seeing Christmas from Clara's 12-year-old eyes reminds us that being in between is going something that we can always have occurring for us. That being in between is a part of our daily lives most of the time. By God's grace, then, when we find ourselves in that in-between feeling, we are always reminded that we should be learning, growing, and being transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, we're always on that one side of the door sometimes where we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we place our trust in our Lord and our Savior that in-between time that God is going to teach us and help us grow and transform us. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says this: we're always on one side of the door looking through a keyhole or in a mirror daily. But you see, the point is this: to keep searching, to keep learning and growing, that someday we'll find ourselves complete within the heart of God. When I was a child, maybe you experienced the same thing. Couldn't wait to grow up. Couldn't wait to maybe do some of the things. Couldn't wait to not have to have your parents tell you things, do your homework. A lot of things like that. And we know that kind of anticipation comes as we grow. But Clara, this 12-year-old girl, is kind of, like I said, back in that 12-year-old age. And we're told that her godfather has that special gift for her. The gift of the Nutcracker. And she's not entirely sure what to do with this gift, but it certainly captures her brother's eyes, Fritz, who we're told wrestles it away and breaks it. So one of the ways that I think about the story is one of the first things that Clara encounters on the other side of the door is brokenness. And isn't there brokenness in this world? In the season of Advent, we read prophecies, we hear stories of the Messiah. It's a time of preparation for Jesus' coming. But it's also a recognition today that Jesus' work is not yet complete. Jesus' work is not yet complete. Our fourth sermon note, Advent is that recognition that his work is not yet complete. And there's still brokenness in the world. So I want to take you to another prophecy that Jesus, when he was older, went into the temple, stood up and read. And he says this, he said, and we should all kind of feel this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor, to release the captives, to recover the sight of the blind. And in this scripture, Jesus references in Luke chapter 4, he reads this in his own time. And so as we go through Advent waiting for Christ, preparing ourselves for the greatest gift, this should be a time of recognition that his work is not yet complete. His work is not yet complete. If we had a tall order of what we should be doing as a church, not only at Christmas, but through the whole year, it would be these things, that recognizing that God's work is not yet complete, but that we need to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, and recovery to the sight of the blind. I remember when I was right into high school, out of high school, and about that time is when in Catholic school, where they would take all the boys of the class and they'd take you to a seminary. And they would take all the girls to the class and they'd take them to a convent just to kind of see what religious life was like. And I'll remember this there, right before we had gone to the seminary, there was a fire at that seminary in the chapel. And, you know, when you have a fire, there's water and there's things that were burnt and broken. And I'll never forget walking into that seminary chapel and seeing the cross. And as you know, the cross in the Catholic tradition has the body of Jesus Christ on the cross there. And what was missing were his hands because of the fire and his feet. And when I think about what we're supposed to be doing, not only in Advent, but throughout the year, is we're called to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Sermon note 5. The hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Proclaiming release to the captives. Recovering sight to the blind. Proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. You know, when we hear that, we're like, wow, yeah, recovering the sight of the blind. Well, I can't remember to do that. I don't know many people that I can do that with, or you know, release to the captives. Well, I'm not sure that I can even do that. I think we need to kind of, like I said, draw some bigger circles here. What that means for us, very, very clearly, Jesus reads that. Let's proclaim good news to the poor. Not just the poor financially. Let's proclaim good news to those people who are poor in spirit, who need encouragement, who need God's love. Let's offer recovery to the sight of the blind. You know, sometimes we can give people a perspective about their life because of our faith that they're desperately needing. And also, release for the captives. For people to know that it doesn't matter what the sin is or what, when you place your trust in Jesus Christ and you claim as the Lord and Savior and you ask for his forgiveness, he tells us that our sins will be forgiven. But we live in a world that's bound by those things. And because of our faith, we have the power to do as Jesus told us to do. You know, when Clara is on one side of the door looking into the party, she has an expectation of what might be like, but of course she enters the party and things are kind of different. I would say to you today, my friends, that the only constant maybe that we have in life is that there's going to be change. But because of our faith, the constant change is Jesus Christ himself. The constant change is Jesus Christ. Sermon note 6. I think of, you know, many times, and maybe you've had this experience during the holiday season, you know, where you started early and you did your buying early and you decorated and you put lights up and you just wanted everything to be perfect. We start making preparations and then we find ourselves exhausted and say, I'm never going to do that again. This was exhausting. But by that, we see a disconnect between expectation and reality. And we see in the story of Advent, in the Christmas story, I want to go to Isaiah 9, chapter 6, who says this. Now listen what Isaiah says, what we're supposed to expect. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a tall order. But think about it. The government will be upon his shoulders. And we have this expectation of this powerful Lord. And then on Christmas, what we see is a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, born to a poor family, not in a palace, seemingly with no power or might. You see, there's a disconnect between expectation and reality. Now, Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace. But sometimes we recognize that we can miss, sometimes by what we expect to happen, we can miss what God is really doing in us and in the world. And sometimes when we're preparing for Christmas, sometimes we might imagine maybe how tall the Christmas tree should be. Maybe we have thoughts in our minds of this is the time that Christmas Eve services should be, or these are the kind of things that my kids should get for Christmas. And sometimes when things go wrong, we get so disappointed because of our expectation. But I want to say this to you. Sometimes when things go wrong, that's the opportunity for us to discover a new, maybe more helpful perspective. And that's our sermon note 7. Think about it. How many times when things go wrong, we go right to the negative instead of going to where Jesus blesses us and says, okay, maybe I've got a new vision for you. Maybe, you know, those things that he talks about, recite to the blind. Maybe God has something different in store for you or for your family or for your marriage or for our church. And maybe what we need to do is just to take that step back and say, okay, Lord, have thine own way. Yeah, man, him, have thine own way. You know, sometimes the story is met with unmet expectations. Here's what happens to Clara. She starts to dream of the fight between the Nutcracker and the Mouse King. She starts to dream what the world might be like. And of course, for Clara, the story ends well. And at the end of the story, she's ushered into a kingdom in which everyone is welcome. People from all over the world are in one place. Now let's think about what this 12-year-old girl's dreaming about. A place where everyone is welcome. A place where the whole world comes together and are welcome in one place. My brothers and sisters, this is the picture of our heavenly home, isn't it? A place where we can all come together from all over the world, from all different perspectives, in one place, this picture of heaven. We have this 12-year-old girl caught in this in-between moment. We know that Jesus, when he was 12 years old in the temple, that was an in-between time for him. And we said that he grew in wisdom and years. But as I was reading, as we read the story again, sermon note 8 tonight, today is this. I go back to the book of 1 John 3, chapter 2, that says this. Now listen, this just speaks to my heart. Beloved, we are God's children now. We're God's children now. Do I have an amen? Are we God's children? Yes, we are. Now listen. Remember that. We don't know what's happening. We know what perspective's happening. Anxiety comes up. And then we hear this now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. Here's the promise. But when we will see him, we will be like him as he is. When we will see him, we will be like him as he is. Is there any greater promise to hold on to in our lives in this Advent season? We're God's children now. And what we will has not yet been revealed. You know, sometimes we're going to go to our dying day not really understanding what is going to happen, but we cling to the promise that when we see our merciful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we're going to be like him as he is. That person who grew in wisdom and years and divinity and humility. What a great promise. And so, in a way today, we're like Clara in the story, God's children now, not quite seeing maybe what's on the other side of the door as we peek through that keyhole, and maybe our church has been in that keyhole right now, peeking through it, just wondering what's going to happen when the door finally opens. But we're told that we're to be filled with hope as the Fleming family lit that candle of hope today. And living in this in-between time, we know that sometimes when we hope because we're doubting. And I would tell you this, my brothers and sisters, is this, silver note number 9 is, sometimes when we doubt is when we see Christ more clearly or most clearly. Sometimes when we doubt is when we see Christ most clearly. Maybe this is why the Nutcracker has captured our holiday imagination. Living in this in-between stage is something we all know on some level. Whether we remember our middle school year or our age of 12 or parenting adolescents that have gone through this, we know that being now as a Christian is always an in-between kind of life. We know that there's going to be challenges. We know that we're not always going to feel like we've got our feet on the ground. There are things of this life that are going to challenge us. There are things in this life that are going to want to take our spirits away from us. But Paul in Romans 12, chapter 2 says this, when you have those times, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Yeah, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So as we close today's first message for this Advent season, I would encourage you to think about when you start to get those feelings of change and you're not feeling comfortable with change. Or maybe you're getting those feelings that things aren't the way that you expected them to be and your spirit starts to be broken. Remember what Paul says. First of all, don't be conformed to the knowledge of this world, but be conformed to the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And remember this. Sometimes when things don't seem quite right, it's not always a bad thing that sometimes God is trying to give us a new perspective. Sometimes things that we can't even see right now. So I want to leave you today, my brothers and sisters, with that hope, with that joy of this holiday season. We think of that 12-year-old little girl waiting on that side of the door and what she saw. We think of Jesus at 12 years old in the temple. What a blessing. And so, I ask that God would continue to bless and keep us in his care, but also to give us the wisdom and the vision to know that he is here working right now in this church, in your lives,
as you leave here, when you go home, when you go to school, when you go to work, He's working in and through you. And may God bless us as we wait for Christmas. Let's bow our heads. Father God, You are so good. God, You give us the Holy Scriptures, the prophecies, to illuminate what You're planning to do and have done in this world. And now, Lord, we ask that You would continue to bless us as now we move on to the sacrament of communion, that we all know that all are welcome to Your table who confess You as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and Lord, that You are here to unburden us and we are here to unburden others, giving release to the captives, sight to the blind, and joy to all who come to know Him. Amen. On the night Jesus suffered, He was at table with the disciples and He broke the bread.